It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes up off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 20 years.
Open at the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's hour number two on the flagship of the Raiders, Raider Nation Radio. And we're also hockey friendly as we talk VGK coming up in a few moments here. Gary Lawless, one of the best analysts and TV radio personalities out there. He's going to join us any moment here. And we'll talk about the first place Pacific Vegas Golden Knights. We'll get a nice rundown coming from him coming up here. Raiders, if you still want to talk about what's exactly happening with the Raiders losing to Kansas City, that was a golden opportunity to win a game they could have won. I'm not saying should have won, because I can say should have won. I thought they played and had a couple of things happening that they could have won the game, and that got away from them. Now they play Cincinnati, which a lot of people think are one of the better teams out there. So that's the storyline there, but I love the Vegas Golden Knights and talking about them. Gary Lawless is one of the preeminent, legendary voices in all of hockey, nationally, locally, and we get him in Vegas here. Been a while, man, but I waited for 15 points until we reached out. How are you?
How you doing, JT?
I'm doing well, my friend, and I'm excited for you, and I'm excited for the team and the broadcast because veterans look good. Home record looks good. It's a good time to be a part of the Golden Knights, huh?
Yeah, it's almost like Kelly McCrimmon knew what he was doing, right? You know, sooner or later, people will start to trust him. Every year, he's put together one of the most competitive teams in the National Hockey League. And this summer, like, guys are going to leave. Guys are going to chase dollars. You got a limited amount of time to make your money. And when you play for an elite team, you get an opportunity to go other places. God love you, go. But that doesn't mean that the team you're leaving is going to lay down. McCrimmon went and had a really good offseason, which he started at the trade deadline. He knew he was losing Stevenson. He knew it was time to move off of Alec Martinez. He went and got Hanifin. He got Hurdle. And all of a sudden, he's better at the blue line, better at center ice. And that's how you build a team. The addition of Samsonov makes them better at goal. So the question mark was wing. How are they gonna move forward on the wing? Well, let's move Mark Stone up with Jack Eichel and create the best line in hockey to start the season. McCrimmon has pushed all the right buttons.
Yeah, and you saw this coming ahead of time, and this is why this franchise has been so spectacular in Vegas. Building the initial roster, the expansion roster, making tough decisions, not bringing back players, but going out and getting younger players. This is a business, and you're on the business side of this. There's a lot of other hockey teams trying to do the same thing. So what's paying dividends right now? Who's playing great? And I look at the veterans, if it's Stone or Pietrangelo, veterans are veterans. They tire. They need an all-star break. They got to pick me up the second half of the year, and then you got to have them peaking and healthy for the postseason. Who jumps out on the veteran side of this roster?
Well, Jack Eichel has been tremendous to start the season, and so has Mark Stone. Pietrangelo, whatever was bothering him the last couple of years, he seems to have taken care of that in the offseason, and he looks like he's turned the clock back about 5 years. Braden McNabb hasn't skipped a beat. He's the same effective guy that he always is. And now you put William Karlsson back into the lineup. Like, those losses on the road, the loss to Tampa and the loss to Florida, mm-hmm. both those games screamed William Karlsson. Mm-hmm. Late in the game, you've got a lead, and you know, they had a red line Eichel in Tampa, and then it showed he didn't have a lot of juice left in Florida. You put Karlsson back into the mix. Now, all of a sudden, you've got options, and you don't have to just rely on one group to close out a game. It brings everybody else up, too. So having him back in the lineup changes the Golden Knights for me, and they've looked really good in the two games since he's got back.
Tell us about, Gary Lawless is our guest, tell us about goaltending overall, the budget for that, the decisions to have a number one and two, and what's working out well.
Well, they're going 1A, 1B right now. Those two guys are going to flip back and forth. Samsonov has looked excellent since he arrived. His numbers are great. I think Hill was fighting it a little bit early on. He's found his rhythm. The last two games, he's looked really good, including last night's shutout. So they're in excellent shape in that. And, you know, they seem to have found a little bit of magic on the blue line in terms of their combinations. Like last night, they didn't give Calgary anything.
Yeah,
Calgary went long stretches of that game without getting a shot on goal, and it looked like a U18 team playing against a U12 team.
Wow!
I can't say Pee Wee and Bannerman. Stuff like that anymore. You have to say the year. So U18 versus U12, men against boys.
Gary Lawless, as we wrap it up, tell us about Barbashev and what type of player he is and person off the ice. I love his style of play, man. I just love when he attacks. I love when the puck gets dropped in, he goes and digs it out, or he gets to the front of the net. He fights for it. I love his energy every time I see him play.
Yeah, he's got first line skill, but he started as a fourth liner. And he still has that soul of a he's got the soul of a grinder. And he combined his hands and what he's doing and who he's playing with. Like, he's figured it out. Just be around the net, man. These guys, Stone and Eichel, are premier passers. Two of the best in the game. They're going to find him. Or there's going to be rebounds and there's going to be deflections. And so he's just getting to that blue ice, hanging around there offensively and putting the puck into that. And when they need somebody to get in on the forecheck and knock somebody, you know, shake somebody loose, that's him as well. He's been excellent to start the season.
All right, Gary, I'm fighting. I'm not fighting. I'm dealing with the passion of the Raider Nation. I don't want to talk draft. I don't want to talk end of the year. We're not even at the bye week, and we're really struggling. It's the exact opposite with the Golden Knights, off to a great start. What has changed at the fortress? You know, sometimes fans want to win every game. Sometimes fans question ownership. Sometimes fans are saying, well, we didn't do it last year. I don't know. We might not be what we were the first couple of years. When you bump into fans in the hallway, you see this invigorated fan base. What are they telling you?
Well, they were not believers to start the season.
Yes.
That's for sure. There was all kinds of, you know, what are we going to do now? We lost all these guys. And, you know, listen. Guys moved on, for sure. But McCrimmon he's playing chess. He saw this last year of Hurdle and Hanifin at last year's trade deadline secured the future of this team for this season. He protected his core by adding those two guys. And I don't blame fans for missing their heroes. That's part of cheering for a team. You have a guy that you love. I loved all those guys. Mm-hmm. I watched them win a Stanley Cup. It was sad to see them go. But Kelly McCrimmon's job is to look after the crest, not the name on the back of the jersey. And he's done that.
Fantastic. Enjoy your travels. We'll hope to do it again real soon. Love having you on the broadcast.
Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon.
Gary Lawless. I really think he's one of the best. He's a tremendous commentator live during the game, you know, with Dan Duva. And then if he goes on TV in between periods, and then if he does hits like that on radio, he's a radio host, podcast, he does everything good. We will be talking Golden Knights. Yes. Yes, we will. We'll be talking more Raiders than Golden Knights, but we want to keep the Vegas Golden Knights where we want them, right here. Because I really love this team. I'm a fan. They're an inaugural expansion team that's been around for a while now, and they're very good to us. You know, they reach out to us. What can we do to help the show? Let's get some hockey talk going. Most people like hockey. You might not be as passionate about hockey, maybe, as you are of your baseball team or your football team, but many people are. Mark Stone, Bobby, has got 18 points. What? Mark Stone, Bobby, 10 games, 5 goals, 13 assists. For Mark Stone?
Oh, What's going on here? He's been an assist machine. He gets his goals and all that, but he's been feeding the puck off to other players. That's why you got a guy like Barbashev with 6 goals already.
Eichel's got 13 assists, and Pietrangelo has 11.
Yeah.
They're playing well.
Yes, they are playing well. And the thing that's good is that, I mean, well, they're 7-0 at home, first of all. Plus, their goaltending has really stepped up. I mean, in the beginning, Hill gave up about 3 goals, gave up about 4 goals. You're a little worried. Then Samsonov came in, pitched a shutout, and then Hill's kind of stepped up his game. He had a game last night. He went 5-0.
Well, it's just great to see. It's good for our community. It's great when that happens. We thank Gary Lawless for joining us. That interview was brought to you by our great friends in Tivoli Village at La Casa Cigars. Mike and Sandy, what an establishment they have. Now, I have my cigar voice this week. My wife even pulled me aside. There was no need for that cigar for the Yankee game when I came back because the voice wasn't good. But I like a nice cigar here and there, and I get them all. I get them all right now. I don't go shopping anywhere else. I get my cigars, Tivoli Village, at La Casa Cigars. They got over 500 cigars in the selection. I like Romeo and Julietta's. I like my Rocky Patel, friend of the show's. If you like a good cigar, head on out there. 702-365-9200. What's going on? Is it June, July? No calls? Is it June, July? Do I have to come up with the Raiders' top 10 running backs of all time? Do that? Does Raider fans, let me know if Raider fans are taking the week off before the bye week, because I'm not. I got a game to get to. Let me know, Bobby, if the Raider Nation's taking a couple days off, because Q isn't, I'm not, Vinny isn't, Clay, I can tell you that. Vin Sapiens is not taking time off. We are here, 702-365-9200. Chris Myers is going to join us coming up here. You know, Freddie Freeman hit that home run to start the game off. So I'm down last night. I'm down at Wynn doing the show there at the beautiful SiriusXM studios. I'm ready to go. You know, the Jeter threw out the first pitch. There's Monday Night Football. I'm not paying attention to it. But you can tell I'm paying attention to what was going to go on with this big game for the Yankees. And I said, man, one thing you want to do is you don't want Ohtani, who looked like he was hurt, to lead off the game with a home run. He doesn't do it. But they walk. They walk a batter. They give Freeman the opportunity to come up, and he does this.
A 1-2 offering from Schmidt. Freddie swings and belts the ball right field, hooking toward the corner. Hello, short porch, and hello, Freddie Freeman. For a third straight game in this World Series, 5 straight World Series games overall, Freddie Freeman goes deep.
That was a hell of a home run. Dodgers radio, he goes deep, and that's pretty much it. It really is. It's pretty much it for the Yankees. They were dead on arrival. Now, Stanton was on second with a double, and we'll play the Dodger version of this. He gets thrown out at home plate. So we have two versions of this. I think this is pretty good radio. This is the professional version before my version of it from last night.
It's 2-2. Volpe to left field. That's going to drop for a base hit. Stanton being waved around. Here's the throw in from Teoscar. The play at the play. Got him! An absolute hose from Hernandez in left. And Stanton nailed down at the plate.
Okay, so that's Dodgers radio. He got nailed at the plate. So, rarely, but from time to time, I do some play-by-play. Do it for the Raiders in the preseason. When I'm on the radio and I see something happen, I stop the show and I go to the play. So last night at Wynn, I see Stanton on second. Initially, I thought base hit, maybe he'll score. But instantly, I said, no way. It clicked. You can't send him.
Heading on that 9-game streak, going to the postseason, Brickster.
Take care, Mick, and I can see that happening, too. I think the Niners, as they get healthier and healthier coming back here, coming off the bye week, good time for their bye. If the Niners can get healthy, they can get rolling again. Runner on second, 2 outs, Volpe up, and Volpe, does that a base hit? You got to score Stanton. You got to score Stanton. He's going to get thrown out at the plate. He's going to get thrown out at the plate. He's going to get thrown out at the plate. I predicted it. He's going to get thrown out at the plate. I called it. Get that on a promo. You can't do that. Stanton can't run. How long have I told you Stanton can't run? I told you that in April, May, June, July, August, September. They sent Stanton on a base hit. He's out at home. I saw it when the ball was hit off of Volpe's bat. I said, don't go. Don't go. Don't go. And he turned the corner and he got thrown out at the plate. You cannot send Stanton. He can't run. He's been a bum. He got the double. He hits home runs. He's saving us. The guy can't run. He can't field this position. What's going on? You can't send Stanton. You're losing 3-0. Been a fan my whole life. As soon as you heard the crack of the bat, I said, hold Stanton. I said, hold him. I said he's going to get thrown out, Purnell. Turn that around. I want to hear that on the other side. What are we doing here? We're trying to win a World Series game, and we're sending Stanton on a routine base hit? You got to be kidding me. 888-623-3646. Put that on the Babchek weekend show and get that going. I'm losing my mind from winning Vegas. I'll be back.
Yep, that was me last night. So that's when he got thrown out at the plate in real time. And now the Yankees trail the Dodgers 3-0. And Fat Joe singing. God, what was that all about? God. Derek Jeter throws a strike down the middle. Remember, Derek Jeter was the man who told President Bush after 9/11, you have to pitch from the rubber. Because he says, no, you got to throw from the rubber. So when Jeter was walking out, you knew Jeter was going to throw from the rubber. He threw a strike right down the middle. That was cool to see. So I'm going to go home after this. I'm going to vote today, and then I'm going to go watch Yankees in my backyard and then get ready for our interview tomorrow with the head coach. So we got a lot happening today. Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox is going to join us. But if you want to get through now, I dial now. I'll get you up on the other side. 702-365-9200. There's one way to get to the game. You need to M-Ride it. My buddy Teo Johnson, what a great business model this is. M-Ride is the luxury concierge shuttle service. It's the same bus the players use. So you can ride like a pro. And they'll take you round trip from Circa or the Palms right to Allegiant Stadium or T-Mobile. No more hassle parking. You don't want to sit in traffic waiting in a long taxi or rideshare line. You can't do that. I got you M-Ride. Just M-Ride it. And you'll get in and out quickly. My wife's used it. My sons have used it. They were blown away. They're like, I cannot believe it. It's a gorgeous shuttle. It's a bus, just what the players use. And they pick you up right after the game at the pickup point, and you're out of there. It's that good, I'm telling you. Reserve your ride at mridelv.com. Use promo code BRICK. That's mridelv.com. Promo code BRICK. You just need to M-Ride it. All right, Chris Myers coming up, and more on the Raider loss to Kansas City. We do that for 2 days, and then we're on to Kansas City on Wednesday. We turn the page on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Stolen at center by Waugh. Works in on the right. Two men join the play. Waugh gets through. Shot. Score. Colasar. Second goal of the game for Keegan Colasar. Vegas has a 4-0 lead.
Dan Duver on the call, brought to you by Ray's and Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. You can be a Caniac. You can get a box combo. You can get the buttery Texas toast. You can get the best chicken wings on the planet and go watch our Vegas Golden Knights or the Raiders, or especially everything we do with UNLV. Welcome back to the show. Thanks again to Gary Lawless for joining us as they are traveling and be back 7-0 at home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Got to get the Raiders some home and mojo on the road. And what will it take for the Raiders to win? We'll have more from Coach Pierce press conference. He'll meet with me tomorrow, one-on-one. He'll meet with the media. And then we'll get a vibe for what's going to happen heading into bye week. Bye week's always interesting around here. I'm gone. I'll be here the Monday of bye week. Then I'm going to go see my mom and dad. I know you know that means a lot to me. Dad's 86, and I'll be there for my mom's 85th birthday on November 8th. I will be there with my wife, and my sons are staying back holding down the fort, and we're going to celebrate my mom's birthday, which will be fun. And then, Bobby, this is when it gets interesting. So I'm flying all the way to Naples, Florida. It's a long flight. Then I'm going to come back all the way to Vegas. And then I'm going to leave and go all the way to Miami for the Raider Nation in Miami. So that's, no, because I can't stay because I got to interview the coach on Wednesday. We got to do Gadden on Monday. We got to work back here. We can't do everything over Zoom, man. We got to be back here. So I'll be traveling to Florida a bunch, which is kind of cool. This time of year, I'm looking forward to that. Always fun from time to time to be able to get out on the road. It's great always to talk to Chris Myers, who joins us either on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. And it's got to be fun for you, Chris. You're calling touchdowns, new players. You know, guys are coming in. Rookies have big games. And then some of those rookies become veterans, maybe champions down the road. And you have that connection.
Yeah, it was fun doing it. We don't get to do many Charger games, but, you know, the Jim Harbaugh influence, actually covered him quite a bit as a sideline reporter when he was in San Francisco and led them to the playoffs and, of course, to a Super Bowl before losing to his brother. So this was the first shot I got to go to practice and be around him with this Charger team this year that is now 4-3. And you can see his imprint, his building blocks. He really does, you know, speak confident into his players. I think he's changed Justin Herbert a little bit. And Ladd McConkey, second-round pick, of course, John Ault, right, the tackle, the 6'6 tackle there that actually bigger than that in person, who's helping to protect Justin Herbert, was their first pick. And McConkey, a walk-on at Georgia, and then a second-round pick, and really was the leading receiver for them among the top three in rookie receivers with receptions going into the game, but had 111 yards, a couple of touchdowns, and just showed some flashes of brilliance. I saw where Harbaugh said he reminds him of Steve Smith. And that's his view, not mine. But at least Herbert, with, you know, the changeover at the veteran receivers that they had to go through, some of the young receivers, the other young receivers have been injured, and he's become an emerging star for them. But the story with this team is their defense. I mean, it's really impressive. I mean, the fact that they're giving up fewer than 14 points a game through seven, and that's the best in the league, and that's carried them as they kind of get their offense in rhythm. And that's something that Herbert thought they were doing a better job with, and they showed that Sunday against a Saints team that's been beat up by injury but had some veteran people back on defense.
Yeah, Chris, what'd you notice about the Saints overall? I mean, the Wolves are at the door with Dennis Allen. You've called a lot of games down there in New Orleans in the past, and is it just injuries? Because we had you on when they were 2-0, and they looked like the best team in football. It was only two games, but their stats were legitimate. And at that point, a lot of people thought they'd be in the hunt all year. That's not the case.
Yeah, I mean, the injury, I mean, obviously, and Derek Carr should be back this week, and they'll play Carolina, and that should be a win for them, whatever Carolina is doing at quarterback. I mean, but I think injuries were part of it, and Derek Carr going out. But I think where Dennis Allen is going to be the fall guy in this, if they don't turn it around, is that he's a defensive background-minded coach. And the defense, even with some people back, they just have not played well during the stretch. Some of that is the strain of the offense. You thought, okay, well, maybe is it because Spencer Rattler's turning it over? Well, he didn't through the course of that game, and their offense still couldn't do anything. And Haener came in late for them and showed more of a spark. Jake Haener, who is obviously the backup, he's a Fresno State guy as well, from like Derek Carr. So I see the Saints as a team. They gave Kamara the contract. They're a little bit older. They're the fifth oldest team. So I think he's going to pay the price for this because they just don't look like they're playing together football. And, you know, in that same division, you know, Todd Bowles has done a good job taking over as the Bucs. Here's another defensive-minded coach whose offense is doing well even without the receivers who were hurt. And yet the Bucs defense in the last 3 weeks, which I thought was the best of the division, has been giving up a lot of points. So that's really going to change the dynamic, I think, of the NFC South, even though both teams are still alive and in it. It was a big win for Atlanta to kind of gain control of the top of that division.
Chris Myers is our guest. So I saw Mahomes play another just, you know, pedestrian game for him. But, you know, Raiders were in the game, and then Mahomes put it away like always. But Josh Allen went into Seattle, and that's a good Seahawk team, and you've had their games. And to see Josh Allen just pick them apart, a pretty good team. He's playing quarterback as good as anybody in the league.
Yeah, it's amazing the Chiefs. Again, it's the Spagnuolo defense, and then they do whatever they need to, and then Mahomes does what he does to kind of win the game. But I think Josh Allen, and you know, we this is fun to talk about these things, the best quarterbacks in the league currently after Mahomes, right? He's at that standard. You know, Jaden Daniels, too soon to put him on that plateau, but he's coming on. And, you know, we've talked about him before. But I think Josh Allen, it's time now to move him ahead of, and it's not just because of this week or even this year, but the way he's kind of carried this team through receiver and running back changes and offensive coordinator changes. I think we move him ahead of Joe Burrow for just that reason. And he's less erratic. He really can run and make things happen like Mahomes. He's kind of controlled that a little bit better. He's not as reckless maybe as he used to be. And I think Buffalo, I'm a little bit surprised myself that they've just been as good as they've been with some of the changeover. Their defense did a nice job on the road. But, I think Josh Allen, not that anybody was discounting him, but I remember at the start of the year there was some crazy poll about him being the most overrated player or some foolish thing like that, which is quite the opposite. And I think it's worth noticing the kind of year he is having.
Chris Myers is our guest. So, Chris, the Jaden Daniels, not only on the Hail Mary, but I wanted to ask you as a play-by-play voice in your years on the sideline, have you experienced the Hail Mary? Because that was an epic one. Hail Marys happen at the end of the half, and they're completed, and it's great, but it's just halftime. A Hail Mary at the end of a game, which actually is completed, that wins a game, very rare in this league, happens in the nation's capital between the first pick and the second pick of the draft. I don't think that's ever happened before. I don't know if it'll ever happen again.
Yeah, no, and it was a really fun, it was an interesting game because the quarterbacks, well, especially, you know, to Caleb Williams' credit, I mean, he didn't have a great game, but he did what he had to do at the end to get the Bears in position to win, and I think he felt the importance of the matchup, right, of the first pick and the second pick and the quarterback discussion that may go on for years to come if these guys, fortunately, are healthy enough and leading their teams, and for that to happen. No, as a play-by-play guy, you know, I've been doing it since 2010 full-time for the network, and before that I did done a few sidelines where there was a great in the postseason, the Giants, Eli Manning at Green Bay threw a Hail Mary right before the half when they were on the road against Favre and the Packers down there for that, and then, of course, they went on to win the game, but that wasn't to end a game. Usually, you know, I've been at games where Aaron Rodgers has thrown them, but not to win a game, not like that. And I know there's a lot of criticism of how the Bears played that and had the certain players who weren't paying attention. But I just think it goes back to the numbers, the passing game, the running game. This is a guy with bad ribs. And I think you contrast what Jaden Daniels is doing. And then you look at, you know, like an Anthony Richardson, who's pulling himself out of a play. I don't know all the details, but because he's tired. Now, it's one thing if physically he's dizzy or he can't do the job. But, you know, here's a guy who, in terms of Daniels, who's already expressing, but he shows up at 5 in the morning. He's in there before coaches. He stays late. He's very devoted, and I think he already gets the running and the throwing balance, which he had, and he didn't turn the ball over after that initial game against Tampa Bay when he had some problems with fumbles. So he allows you, the fact that he allows you to be in a game like that and to have that opportunity at the end and to stay calm. And the way he threw that ball, too, after running around to make, I think it was, I counted 12 or 13 seconds to scramble and then to get the ball out there just to have the chance. Absolutely amazing. And just hope he can stay healthy, and because we'll see a quarterback for a long time who's entertaining. He's a terrific guy to talk to. I'll be calling his game coming up next Sunday, JT, when they visit the Giants.
Fantastic. Chris Myers, as we wrap it up, I wanted to mention the Lions and the Chiefs looking like that could be a collision course for the Super Bowl. When Aiden Hutchinson went down, as we talked, being my Super Bowl pick, I just said, I just can't do it. I think that's going to be too big of a loss later in the year in a playoff game, not getting the sack or two sacks from him. That could be the difference in the game. I might be wrong. I'm wrong a lot when it happens, but this team's got some type of edge to them. Since Hutchinson went down, it seems like it galvanized them to even play better.
Yeah, and I would. Yeah, don't back off on your. I mean, I picked him for the Super Bowl too, and I agree. Kansas City, it's tough. I don't see anybody that. You know, maybe Buffalo. We say that every year. Maybe there's somebody who dethrones them. But as far as the Lions go, you know, and Jamison Williams out of the lineup, thought, oh, okay, that might affect the way they stretch the field. Again, the way Jared Goff and Dan Campbell kind of run this team and are in sync, and you're right, they respond to things. I think they score well enough to overcome a loss of Hutchinson. We still have a trade deadline a week from tomorrow that maybe something will happen. But I think the Lions, and I've said this before, not only can they score in a number of different ways, but they can score quickly, and they also can, you know, chew up the clock, and so they have a lot of positive things going for them in that regard. And I also think when you look at who would be the prime threat, you know, it's not Minnesota, it's not the 49ers, maybe McCaffrey's back in week 10, we'll find out, but even then I still like the Lions situation. Could it be Washington? That's hard to say given the rest of the team around Jaden Daniels and a rookie growing in this year, but I'm still staying with the Lions. I'm riding them out because I still think, even with that loss, I'm with you. They'd still look to me, and we're almost to the halfway point. Things could change, but they can withstand a lot of setbacks, and they've shown that already.
Go to ChrisMyersSports.com. Chris, I'm sure the book's there. How's the book going? Where else can we get it? Amazon.com, all the major bookstores.
Yeah, I'm doing a talk thing tomorrow, Talk Shop Live, but it's that deserves a while. November 19th, it'll be on shelves, but it's you can pre-order it Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever online to get books, and it's a fun read. Thank you for mentioning it. I appreciate that.
See you next week, Chris. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thank you, Chris. Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox. So he had the Ladd McConkey game against the Chargers as the Chargers and Denver both won and Kansas City beat the Raiders. So the AFC West won except for the Raiders, and the Raiders have to find a way to get a win in Cincinnati. And what are they going to be able to do going forward? What are they able to do going forward so we can have some conversations about the future, what the team's going to do the rest of the season, what you believe the team could do the rest of the season? These are dicey times, as you know. So we're going to mix in Chris Myers, and you're going to have Sam Munson on, and we're going to have Hacksaw. We're going to have other insiders from around the NFL, along with our Raider insiders, to jump on in here and talk football while the Raiders are looking to win. And I'm going to talk about the Raiders every segment losing. We're going to talk about other teams around the league, try to incorporate some of the other football fans who are there. The breaking news today for me in Rappaport 40 minutes ago, Stephon Diggs has been placed on injured reserve. He's done for the year. Texan star Stephon Diggs went down with a knee injury Sunday, tore his ACL, and out for the season. Oh, and the tragic news, 49ers cornerback Chizarius Ward's one-year-old daughter, Amani Joy, passed away. The Niners put out a statement, please say a prayer for their family. Devastating news for the 49er family and one of their great players. And the 49er family needs your support for this, and especially the player, the family, and the entire league for this.
Rodgers under pressure, rolling to the right, eludes the initial rush, steps up, throws to the left side. The pass is caught by Devontae Adams, but he's hit immediately by Jonathan Jones at the 46. And the clock is counting down to 3 and 2. New York's not going to have enough time to snap it again.
It's over.
The Patriots win it. They gain a split against the Jets, and they show their toughness mentally and in the end physically in this game, rallying for the victory.
All right, that is the Patriots Radio Network. As the Patriots beat the Jets, and that has just ruined the Jets. Now, you could say the same thing about the Raiders. The Raiders have the same record as the Jets here, but the Raiders scenario is a little bit different because Devontae wanted to leave the Raiders to go to the Jets. So that is a nightmare for Devontae because Devontae could have stayed here for the end of the year and then been a Jet. Or he could have been a free agent, went to wherever he wanted to, the Raiders not bring him back or not. He chose to leave the Raiders, chose to do it, said every time he was in front of a microphone that things were okay or great or okay, and then he left, which he has the right to do. He didn't break the law. He was traded, but he wanted out. And a lot of other guys in that locker room are not as good as Devontae. I mean, they're not gold jacket guys, but they're going to suck it up and hang in there and try to win games. It's a big story because they're not talking about this national story this way in New York. If you turn on WFAN or the big news stations in New York, they're just talking about Devontae. They're not mentioning the Raiders. Please recall this. They're not saying, oh, and by the way, the host is not saying Boomer Esiason or Gio or whoever the guy is. They're not saying, oh, yeah, and he left the Raiders. They're just talking about Devontae now as a Jet. And this is going to get ugly. Because Devontae's on with Kay Adams every week. Didn't come on with me, which is fine, but he comes on with Kay Adams every week because he has to do it. Rodgers goes on with McAfee every week. Has to do it. They committed. You can't bail. You notice our guests don't bail. Paul Gutierrez today didn't say, nah, we're not winning. Not we. He's a journalist. The Raiders aren't winning. I'm not going to join you this week, JT. He's here. But for the Jets have to deal with Devontae and Rodgers the rest of the year in a much more aggressive media market than Las Vegas, Nevada. And I don't think that Rodgers and Devontae are going to handle it well. Because here, during the week, Devontae could go to Shadow Creek and play golf, which is one of the greatest golf courses in the world. Right? Devontae can just, and they got great golf courses in New York, too. But when you look at what Devontae can do now with his family here, and I don't know if his wife and kids are back there. I'm assuming they are, but he's got his house here. He's going to have to be in cold, wet, miserable New Jersey, New York, and go play for a team that's finished with a polarizing quarterback who's out of his mind. Out of his mind. Now, did I want Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback of the Raiders? Yeah, probably. You know, at some point, yeah, I said I'd pick him up at the airport. He's a great player. He's an absolute unbelievable great player. But times are tough, and he's not handling it well. And I want to wrap up the show here in a few minutes if you want to get through. But Bobby's getting rid of a lot of calls today. Bobby's having a good day. This is a good day. Bobby's just telling some people they're not good enough to get on the radio, which is important that we do this on this format because not everybody can get on the radio if you don't enhance the show or entertain us or be vile and upset but sound good and not curse. As Bobby's shaking his head. You don't get a free pass to come on radio shows. You don't. You know, we like taking calls, but there's got to be a little bit of a benefit to them. Man, we got chippy people today, man. We got chippy people today, which is a good thing. Like everybody, man. Like everybody the same. So the other thing about Devontae is, how would this have ended if Devontae stayed here? I don't know. Devontae would have went to media once a week, would have played golf at Shadow Creek, would have went down to Chef Barry's, Barry's Prime, downtown. Kids would have went to school. Everything kind of would have been okay, and then we would have said goodbye to Devontae. And then he could have went to the Jets. He could have went to a better team like the Bills. Or he maybe could have went on his own to Kansas City. Not that I think he wanted to go to Kansas City. Now he's stuck with the Jets. Stuck with the Jets. And the Ravens, remember, Kansas City is a place where a lot of players want to play for now. I thought the Ravens made a good trade for the Panthers wide receiver, Deontay Johnson, because they're starting to realize Baltimore wants to win. And they wanted another receiver. So they get an experienced target who can provide a dimension to the passing attack. Ravens trade for Carolina Panthers wide receiver Deontay Johnson in a swap of draft picks Tuesday. Adam Schefter broke that news. The Ravens will send a fifth-round pick to the Panthers for Johnson and Carolina's sixth-round selection. So Tom Telesco could do that now if he wants to. I don't think he does. I don't know. We're going to talk to Tom. Tom's welcome to come on. We really like Tom. We like everybody who's been in the GM position here. They've all been good to us. Mike Mayock, Reggie McKenzie, Dave Ziegler. They all came here with a vision to make the team better. And if it didn't work out, we don't hate those people. We wish them well. They tried. It didn't work out. For players, coaches, it doesn't work out. Executives, you wish them well, and you try to get after it again. Kingsley is out in Henderson, Nevada, right here. Go ahead.
JT, thanks for taking my call. Yep. Just a quick shout-out to all the individual players on the team. If we rewind the videotape back to the week before Devontae got traded, I bet if you ask any player on the team, is this a distraction for you, they would tell you no. They're focused on playing. And so I just want to give credit to the team and the coaches for, you know, keeping the focus on trying to go out and win.
You know, one thing, let me stop you for a second. One thing I think sure. You said that they need to hear it from you, not me, okay. Is that they're trying to win every game and they come out ready to win. And they've had the lead or been tied at the end of the first quarter. And all these games, all these losses, could have went up 17-3 on Denver. They're up 10-7 on Kansas City. I mean, Pittsburgh right there in the game. And then the game gets away from them, but it's not for lack of effort.
No. So all the players have shown just this total class, even after the Kansas City game. So, you know, some of the interviews I listened to, hey, you know, we're focused on winning that next game. So. Just a shout out to the individual players for keeping their chin up, focused on the game, and that says a lot about the culture of the team and the teamwork.
All right. Thank you. I think that's an important point. I really do. You can see when a locker starts to fray, and a lot of people come up to me, JT, what's it like in the locker room? I'm not in the locker room. I'm upstairs doing the post-game show. Q's in the locker room, and he does a hell of a job. He's in the locker room, and he's on the radio. And Vinny leaves the press box and goes into the locker room. We got people, Vince Sapienza. Vince Sapienza is in the Golden Knights locker room and the Raiders locker room. And I get a chance to interview all the players and meet them in the building and the ones who I know, and I'll talk to them. A.J. Cole, if I see him, will have a quick sentence. Hey, man, this and that. But most of the guys I talk to are the alumni and the coaches. I don't really bother the players much unless Will Kiss says, hey, a player wants to come on, right? And I get a chance to interview these guys, and I really appreciate it. But if the locker room starts to fray, Paul Gutierrez, Vic Tafer, right, Vinny Bonsignor, Vince Sapienza, and Chris Matthews and Kevin Bollinger are all on the show. They're all on this show. They'll come in and tell you, and Q will tell you with all of his stuff. The locker room seems to be pretty much together. I think everybody realizes that the season's slipping away. It is. The record proves that. But the locker room doesn't seem to be slipping away. It's the way I look at it. Now, wait. Little asterisk here. Bye week's coming. Bye week's coming. Show up in Cincinnati. Let's not look towards Cancun. Not that the players go to Cancun. But they're going to get a week off, and these guys need some time off, man. We do radio when we want to get out of here for a few days. You imagine being a player and wanting to get out of here for a few days? And Roger Goodell did not do us favors this year, man. The bye week's in November? Really? We're decimated by injuries 5 weeks ago, and we got to wait till now? We opened up the season against both Harbaugh brothers on the road? Man, they did not do us any favors, man. But we got to go play the games, that's for sure. Let's get to Pittsburgh last night over the New York Giants. Russell Wilson was available for $1 million. This building's worth a lot more than $1 million where I'm sitting in. Russell Wilson was available. Pittsburgh picked him up. I think he's playing well.
Giants bringing pressure. Wilson lofting. Wilson has a man out there. Wilson has a touchdown. It's a second touchdown for Calvin Austin.
Yeah, there you go. And Steelers radio getting the win. Getting the win there was an important one for them because they don't lose much. Pittsburgh doesn't lose much. Anybody notice that? They win a lot of games they're not supposed to win. They beat the Giants 26-18 in that game. Russell Wilson was 20 of 28 for 278, one touchdown, no interceptions, a 114.9 rating. He's a good player, isn't he, Russell Wilson? They threw him out trash. Now, he had $200 million coming to him, but they threw him out there. Sean Payton said, nope, don't want you here, don't like you, you're out. He's playing for Pittsburgh now. Pittsburgh is 6-2. Daniel Jones, 24 of 38, 264, no touchdowns in a football game. And a 72.7 rating. The best soundbite in all of football is Mike Tomlin talking about T.J. Watt having another big game.
I'm not surprised by it, but it doesn't mean that it's not appreciated. I just come to expect it because he's got unique talent. He's got a unique approach. And so usually that produces unique results with a really consistent tone to it and usually at the most timely moments. And so, you know, I think the new Steelers are shaking their heads. I think the guys that have been here kind of expect it.
Yeah, I think they do kind of expect it. We don't do a lot of NBA during football season, but I'll do a little bit of it here just to tell you quickly the start of the season. Lakers have been a pleasant surprise. If you're a Laker fan, Lakers are 3-1. The only undefeated teams in the in the NBA are Oklahoma City, 3-0, Cleveland, 4-0. Bobby's Boston Celtics, 4-0. And did anybody see that Dwayne Wade statue? We didn't have much time to talk about it yesterday. So that's getting good. Lee Sterling will join us Thursday. I got a buddy in Miami who lives walking distance from the statue. Walking distance. Lives in an amazing multi-million dollar condo pretty close to there. I said, do me a favor. Go down there and tell me what it looks like. It's such a big story in Miami. They unveiled the statue for Dwayne Wade. His face in the statue looks like it's a horror movie villain. Looks nothing like Dwayne Wade. It looks like a horror movie villain who's about to track someone down and do something bad. The body of the bronze looks amazing. The sneakers look amazing. The Heat shorts. But the face. So Dwayne Wade shows up for the ceremony. They take the cover off the statue. You got to see it. The video, he looks up. He's horrified. He can't leave. They're doing a statue presentation. He says something nice. His kids, everyone around them. So they got B-roll of this. So they got people that are like 20 feet away. And part of his family is covering up their mouth. And they are horrified. So I think they're going to tear the statue down and build a new one. They have to. Because you cannot have this statue with Dwayne Wade. It's incredible. I'm a big statue guy. And again, I don't get involved with the Raiders and what they're going to do long term with Hall of Fames and all that. I know Mark's going to do the best thing with that down the road. But I love statues. Whenever I go to a ballpark and they got statues, Minnesota, the ballpark for the baseball team, They got like seven statues. Detroit, Al Kaline statue. I love when you go to a stadium or an arena and you meet at the statue. I got a brick now with my name on it. Meet at my brick. And that's right in front of the Raider gift shop of the Raider image. But no one knows unless they're looking down. Nice job, Bobby. What a day today. Chris Myers, Gary Lawless, Bill Williamson joined us, and Paul Gutierrez. That's a really nice show. Appreciate everybody. Thanks for YouTube. You could subscribe for free. It's free. JT the Brick YT. And then tomorrow we are live from the Raiders at noon. And we'll have the head coach, Antonio Pierce, Lincoln Kennedy. And we're going to work on an insider and have a big show for you tomorrow. So tomorrow I'm in the building at Raiders headquarters all day. I'm on my way to vote. My wife and I are going to vote today. Exercise your right to vote. I'll leave it at that. Q's coming up with a big show. Have a great day, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.